On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, it's the Year in Review special episode, where I look back at all the major sports and reflect on the seasons they've all had. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 72 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. I hope all y'all out there are doing great. I hope we are feeling good. I hope that summer is in full swing for everyone. I'm doing some traveling myself this weekend, going to be representing the Gamecock brand wherever I go. I'm going to be deep in Big Ten country, going to the Windy City, but I won't bore y'all with the details. But if I do have a chance to yell "Go Cox" to a crowd of Buckeye fans or Illini fans or chant SEC at any given moment, you better believe I'm going to do that, because that's just how I roll. Got a special episode for y'all here today, doing the year in review. You know, this is my first off season with the podcast, trying to think of some fun ideas for content. And I said, hey, let's do a year in review. Let's look back at this 2021-2022 season for all of the major sports. So I know that some of the sports are still going on. I know that our track and field team is out in Oregon, I think, somewhere out on the West Coast, doing a big meet. So I'm wishing them nothing but the best. But as far as the major sports are concerned, as we all know, I've talked about this ad nauseum, the season is over. So let's look back at some of the highs and lows throughout the major sports. Just as a reminder, though, talking about episodes, one day a week now for the show, just for the off season, until at some point in August, late mid-August, I'll ramp up back to twice a week, right when football is right in front of our face there. But until then, for the next 2 months or so, once a week, just on Fridays, wrap up any news that may happen over the week and prep y'all for the weekend. But before we dive into the year in review, got a trivia for y'all here from the handy dandy Gamecock Fact and Trivia Calendar. Here we go. Trivia. Can you name the South Carolina pitcher who led the 2019 team in games started with 14? Later that year, became a 13th round pick of the Seattle Mariners. Ooh, 2019. Gosh, I'm drawing up a blank. Who could this be? Reed Morgan. All right, yeah. Man, isn't it funny? It feels so long ago. But no, shout out Reed Morgan. Shout out the baseball team, man. You know, man. Well, I guess kind of. But we're gonna get into that. But no, that's really cool. I mean, there are so many Gamecocks in the pros, especially in baseball, take a lot of pride in seeing them do great everywhere. The product that we have traditionally put on the field at USC can really get guys prepared for the next level, and it is really, really cool to see. But without further ado, you know, we do have to do this year in review special, and, you know, it's just that time of year where we look back and think about all the times we had. It was a fun time following all these teams and podcasting for y'all. It was a great time. In fact, it was some of the best times. I'm sorry, I had to do that. That was just too easy. That was a lot of fun. I got to incorporate music more, I think. That was a good time. It is the year in review, so we're going to go back, and I'm going to talk about each sport and give my takes. We're going to start with baseball and move our way through there. So Wrapping up the baseball season, I've already done this, so I'm not going to harp on this too much. Baseball finished with a 27-28 overall record, going 13-17 in the SEC. We missed the regionals. And, I mean, the story of this year is that we were just incredibly inconsistent. You know, you win a series against Texas. You play a couple good series in the SEC. Auburn comes to mind. But then you also drop a unfathomable amount of midweek games. You get swept by your arch rival in the upstate. You have bad showings in the SEC against other teams. And ultimately got knocked out of the first round in the SEC tournament. So it was just a very incredibly inconsistent year. But there were some bright spots on the team for me. Will Sanders and Noah Hall, two starters, bona fide aces. Noah Hall, starting with him, it was incredible to see his progression in the year. I felt like early in the year, he himself was pretty inconsistent. But when SEC play really ramped up, really getting into that meat of the schedule and down the stretch, boy, was he good. He had some great, great games. And Will Sanders, he was about as steady as you could ask for from an ace. You know, upperclassman, been with the program for a little bit, always good, but he was someone when he was on the mound, you really felt that the Gamecocks had a shot. I wish he was pitched on Fridays, but, you know, I'm not going to rehash that. Other bright spots here, Brant Belk, the transfer. I mean, he was as solid as advertised. You know, I think a lot of people were excited to see him come on, had solid career stats, and that was on display for most of the year. Josiah Seitler, I put second half of the year. Josiah Seitler felt like he was a little frustrating early in the year, but he was banged up too, if you remember that. But it was really cool to see that tear he went on at the second half of the year. And I put Michael Braswell. Obviously, Brazzy started the year really hot, and it looked like that this kid was a legit phenom. Cooled off once we got into SEC play and really in that meat of the schedule, but he is a freshman, and he's going against top pitching in the country. So it's kind of to be expected, right? I felt like he started to get his feet underneath him. I felt like he brings that sort of energy, that passion, that excitement that can really electrify a clubhouse. So I'm excited for him in the future. And I don't know. Obviously, we've talked about King's Dunn being back. Look, all we can hope for is that the injuries and the inconsistent play can kind of work themselves out, right? Like, you got to hope that the team can stay healthier next year. Hopefully, with consistent coaching, maybe a different approach, guys can perform a little bit more consistently on that front. Now, moving over to from an incredibly low point to an incredibly high point, the women's basketball team ending the year 35-2, 15-1 in the SEC, but most importantly, national champions. I got to say it again, national champions. I get goosebumps saying it. I get goosebumps thinking about it. Feels so good to talk about this team again. Dawn Staley cementing her legacy as one of the greatest coaches in women's basketball this year. Certainly one of the greatest coaches at the University of South Carolina. But what an incredible year from start to finish. You know, that team actually, Jay, just tweeted out they're doing a little bit of a docu-series. But almost forgot that that season started right away, game one at NC State, which was a raucous atmosphere as you'll ever find. And it was a tough game. And right out of the gates, you were like, wow, okay, our team kicks ass because we buckled down and got the job done against a good team on the road. This team might be special. Aaliyah Boston, player of the year, just an all-time year. I mean, Asia Wilson, she has her statue. I've said it before, we got to do something to commemorate Aaliyah when she leaves here. National champion, player of the year. I think a mural, a really cool mural on the side of Colonial Life could be fitting. and it's incredible to see the player that she has become. You had a lot of other players, though, contribute to this team. Almost too many to list, right? But Destiny Henderson, Henny, an incredible senior year. And to see her progression as well year over year was amazing. And she had an incredible NCAA tournament and an incredible championship game. Felt like while Aaliyah was the soul and the foundation of this team, Henny was kind of the engine where when she was cooking and she had her swag and she's distributing the ball and she's making plays on defense and if she's got her shot going, there was no stopping that team. The only chance you had of slowing down our team this past season was if our shooters were ice cold and you were somehow able to slow down Aaliyah and Camilla and Victoria, and that was a lot, right? So it's no wonder we were national champions, absolutely smacking UConn. It was such a magical year. And the best part is that a big core of this team is coming back next year. Aaliyah, Victoria, Camilla, right? Raven Jackson, who got hurt, is actually coming back now because you have her along with some other very, very talented underclassmen. You'll remember we had the number one recruiting class coming into this year. So the talent is there. The mix of talent is going to be there. Yes, you have huge pieces to fill, Henny being a big one. But the question is, with some core veterans back and some exciting young talent coming up, can we run it back? I mean, there's no reason to think that we can't. I mean, certainly we're going to be a top one or two team for probably damn near the whole year. Get a good seed in the NCAA tournament. You never know what can happen. So it's exciting to see. It's a pleasure and a blessing to be a fan of this team, and it's a legitimate powerhouse. I mean, it is so cool to see. That doesn't happen often. I think because Dawn has done such a good job, and she has her swag, but it's like a quiet swag that it's just like, yeah, Dawn's doing her thing. The basketball team's killing it. Like, no, this is incredible what she's doing, and it's incredibly hard to build what she has built and to sustain it. This isn't a flash in the pan, right? Like, I feel like Baylor kind of had that, but our team is just, it's here to stay. It's so cool. So what a year for women's basketball. It was a really, really magical year. Now, on the other side of the coin of the basketball conversation, we have the men's team, who finished 18-13 overall, 9-9 in the SEC. And talk about an up-and-down year. I mean, really. You remember the wins early on against FSU and then the one at Vanderbilt? Yeah, that was a lot of fun. How about those losses against Coastal and Princeton? Yeah, not so fun. But do y'all remember that four-game win streak in the SEC we had late in the year? How about that buzzer beater mixed in there against Ole Miss? That was insane. That was a lot of fun. But then how about not making the NIT? Not even making the NIT. Yeah. Yeah, that kind of stinks too. So, I don't know. And then, oh, yeah, by the way, how about we fired Frank Martin, a guy who was at the school for 10 years and change, 11 years, and officially ended a big era in South Carolina sports and in South Carolina's men's basketball. So, it was a very up and down year, a very mixed bag of a year, but an eventful year. Because at times, this team gave us hope that we could be squarely on the bubble, that we could be back in the postseason in one way or another. But then you'd watch this team against maybe Arkansas, and we get smoked, and you're like, wait, this team kind of stinks. So it really kept you on your toes, at least, right? You had to tune in, because you never know what you were going to get. It's like Forrest Gump in the box of chocolates. You never knew what you were going to get with this team. And I think ultimately, that is why the decision was made to move on from Frank. You know, I don't want to rehash this whole thing, but he was here for a very long time. And with the exception of 2 years, yeah, more or less, this team was up and down. This team had flashes of brilliance and times where you were just like, what the hell's going on here? And so I think it had just run its course. And now we start a new era with Lamont Paris. And it's going to be very interesting to look at his tenure and see how that turns out. Now, I don't think that this upcoming season should be the pure litmus test. I think we had a lot of guys leave this program that a lot of us fans, at least, were counting on staying. I would imagine that Lamont Paris was hoping that some would stay too. So next year could be a little bit of a rebuild, but I'm going to absolutely be excited to tune in to watch Lamont Paris's approach in game. I want to see his demeanor on the sideline, and I'm following very closely to see how he's working the transfer portal. How is he recruiting high school? What is he doing? Is he doing anything different, noticeably different? You know, it's a new face, it's a new attitude, it's a new approach that we are experiencing, and it's always fun to follow someone for their first year. So overall, for the men's basketball program, it was an up and down year. It was a roller coaster year. It had its moments, and I'm looking forward to the Lamont Paris era. And that brings us, speaking of first years, to the first year of the Shane Beamer era for the men's football team. Men's football team. For the football team. You know, just covering a lot of sports here. But the football team went 7-6 overall. That includes the Duke's Mayo Bowl win. So that was 6-6 in the regular season and boasting a 3-5 record in the SEC. But I mean, man, what a year this season was for the football team. I mean, this was a team that was completely lost before Shane Beamer took over. And this team ended up taking an identity of fight, accountability, and grit. Despite starting four different quarterbacks and new systems all throughout the program and another gauntlet of a schedule, this team ended up with a winning record with a bowl victory. It's just incredible. You know, and team started out 2-0, if you remember correctly. Then they lost the next two. So you're at 500. And then after that, they never lost consecutive games again. They would win, lose, win, lose, win, lose. So the definition of a 500 team, truly. But that showed me that this team never got down on themselves. And that the staff never got down on themselves. We'd seen in years past that teams would beat us twice. You have a heartbreaking loss to Kentucky at home. And then you lay an egg the next week, and you got to snap out of it then. You're like, oh, crap, we can't go three. This team said no. You know, we could have done better. We should have done better. And we will do better. And we're going to show you next week. That is the change in culture. That is the change in attitude. Really. And I mean, how about these games towards the end of the year against Florida, right? And Auburn. Let those games serve as a reminder that anything is possible at Williams-Brice Stadium, and anything is possible for a Shane Beamer coach team. I mean, this team gives you all the reason to be excited. Truly, I'm incredibly excited to see where this program goes under Shane Beamer, but this man, talk about keeping the momentum from success. Has a good year one, right? A very good year one. Beat a lot of expectations. He parlayed that into Austin Stogner, Spencer Rattler, Christian Beal-Smith, Devonnie Reed, Antoine Wells, a heck of a great recruiting class. It's just all the reason in the world to be excited. It really is. And you know what? Overall, it was quite the year for the South Carolina Gamecocks across all sports. And it was awesome to start up the podcast and cover it this year and looking at these games maybe a little differently. You know, I like to talk about that. I'm not an expert. I'm not trying to be. And I'm still not. But I got to look at these games and think about what I'm going to talk about. And it's so fun. And whenever I look back at highlights, really from any sport this year, I just swell up with pride. I mean, it really is great to be a South Carolina Gamecock. And there's a lot of reason to be optimistic for many different sports at USC. And right now, with the countdown on to football season, I just said it, you know, every reason in the world to be optimistic. We can look back on that year and have every reason to believe that the future is bright, not just in this sport, but in many, many sports at USC. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Teased out a little collab I have on the way. Check it out on Twitter. It's Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast wherever you listen it to. Go Cox.